From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Hi, and welcome to another John Hannam Meets. My guest today is television actor and West End performer Peter Hepplethwaite, best known for playing Jed for 5 years in The Green, Green Grass. He was also in the West End productions of Les Miserables and Miss Saigon. Soon he's hoping to direct a very controversial movie called This Is Me. I bet he's heard this voice before.
Hello, a Boise here. My full range of quality motors are all equipped with the best sound systems to listen to John Hannam Meets on Isle of Wight Radio. That's if you really want to.
Delighted to welcome to John Hannam Meets Peter Hepplethwaite. Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you too, John.
I tell you what, a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it?
What, Hepplethwaite?
Yes.
Yes, it is, yeah. There's lots of people that I've been called everything from Peter Hathaway to Hefferweight or Heck of a Weight, even so now and again.
Yeah. Actor, producer, agent, director. You've got several hats, haven't you, Peter?
I have, yes. Yeah, I have. I've been an actor for just over 30 years.
Wow.
And I was lucky enough to work quite a lot on lots of different projects and learn quite a lot as I went along. And now I earn a living doing all of them, really. I have an agency where I look after a number of actors. I have drama school in Hertfordshire, and I have a adults drama school in London, in Fulham, and one in Hartford, as well as my own acting career and directing career and producing. The only thing I don't do actually is write. I've never been a good writer. I can do other people's stuff and interpret other people's stuff, but I've never been very good at it myself.
At the moment we're at the Rookley Country Park on the Isle of Wight.
We are.
I'm going to ask you a bit later on why you're here.
Right.
A lot of people remember you, of course, for The Green, Green Grass when you played Jed.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Very lucky to work for John Sullivan doing The Green, Green Grass, which was a spin-off of Only Fools and Horses with Marlene and Boise, the lovely John Chalice and Sue Holderness. And we had a wonderful time. Did that for 5 years, in fact.
Yeah, you did about at least 30 episodes of those,
aren't you? It was actually, I did 36 episodes altogether.
Did you?
Including Christmas specials, which an hour long. So, yeah, it's fantastic. Great, great time in my life. I really, really enjoyed creating Jed with John Sullivan, and it was brilliant.
You did a bit of ploughing as well in that.
Oh, I did a bit of ploughing. I did a bit of the old driving in the tractor. It was very good. And at one time, even had to go naked for calendar boys. So it was great.
I was talking to John a week or two ago, and there was a big barn there which you used for filming. And
that's right.
And
yeah.
John's lovely wife used to give you cream teas and cakes.
She did.
Apparently, that's blown away, so John tells me.
What, the barn?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We actually filmed Calendar Boys in the barn, would you believe? We had lovely, lovely cakes off a carol all the time. And, it was a very nice time. We were a big family. And we actually filmed at John Chalice's house.
I know.
Yeah, so it's a very, very nice place. And, you know, it's where the idea came out from John Sullivan as well. So it was a general progression to actually film a lot of the external scenes there and in Ludlow. So we used to spend 4 weeks, 5 weeks in Ludlow, living at the Feathers Hotel.
I was going to say, there's a hotel where I've met John on a few occasions,
right,
in
yeah.
Ludlow, which yeah. is that hotel,
the Feathers,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves
which
it.
Which has been smashed into by a bus several times and been rebuilt, yeah.
He sort of gets what he wants in there because know him so well.
Oh, yeah, so do I. I lived there. It was like my home for a little while.
My daughter, who's a great friend of both of them, stayed with him a few weeks ago, and they went into the pub and someone was sat where they normally sit.
Oh,
So
They didn't stay there for very long. They were asked if they'd like to just move. You know, that's John for
yeah,
you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So special memories of that, Peter?
Of Green Green Grass?
Mm.
To be quite honest, just every memory I have of the Green Green Grass, and I'm absolutely honest about this, is a happy one. It was a wonderful time in my life. You know, I'd been working for probably 18 years solid as an actor before that, and yet everybody remembers me for the Green Green Grass. It is the way it goes, and I think that it shows, because it's not seen very often unless it's on Gold now. But people still stop me in the street. They still ask for, you know, what does Jed think of this? You know, and it's so you sort of definitely go into people's homes. But I think probably the best memory I ever had was Calendar Boys, which I've mentioned a couple of times.
Yes.
And it was my first time I ever had to go naked on TV. That was a great memory.
Did you have a problem with something about a bucket of eels? Did you have a problem saying
that? John's been, has he been telling you that?
Has he?
Yeah. I'm just trying to remember the line.
Go on then.
The line was, and a bucket of eels from the bird sanctuary in Oswestry.
That's
see,
it,
that,
yeah.
Is that it? Yeah. There you go. So yeah, you caught me out there. You've definitely been talking to him. Took me a while to do that one, I tell you.
I sent him an email very early this morning. I said I was seeing you tonight, and I said anything that might surprise him, and he said, asking that,
yeah. It was to do with the fertilizer that we were using, and it was then the last bit was literally a bucket of eels, and oh yeah, that's what it was bird guano.
That's it.
From the guano from the bird sanctuary at Oswestry. That's what it was.
That's it.
And
exactly.
I couldn't get the line out. I couldn't get the line out at all.
You've done some terrific things in sickness and in health. You've done One Foot in the Grave.
Yeah.
2.4 Children.
Uh-huh.
All of those were big series. Was it nice just to go and do a wee bit?
I loved doing that at the time. I met my wife playing my role in One Foot in the Grave. She played my wife in One Foot in the Grave.
Did she?
And we've been married now for 26 years.
Wow.
So that was a good bit of casting by David Renwick.
Telling me.
I love going in to do those type of things. Working with Warren Mitchell and Richard Wilson and people like that. It was lovely. It was great for the early part of my career. And it taught me a lot. Definitely where my directing skills come in now and my producing skills, they were all taught to me by people like that, you know.
You did four different parts in the bill over a period.
I did. Yeah, four different parts. Actually, I played more parts than that in the bill, but they were smaller roles, because in the old days, the bill was a staple diet of parts that you went in for all the time. And as long as there were 6 months in between them, nobody ever remembered you, because there were three shows a week. It was, you know, and they made you look a little bit different, and they used the same actors, you know, people that could sort of do it all the time. So, yeah, I enjoyed that.
You did The Office as well, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yeah. I played Dave in The Office.
Yeah.
With the lovely Ricky Gervais. A very funny man, and quite a wind-up merchant as well.
You were a builder in one or two things as well. I was.
Well, actually, when I left school, I said to my mum that, I liked acting. I was doing amateur dramatics and things, but I became a bricklayer by trade, and I trained as a bricklayer for 4 years. And about 2 years into my bricklaying training, I went home and said, Mum, I want to be an actor. I want to be an actor. And she went, oh, no, son. No, you don't do that. That's the worst thing you could do. And I said, Mum, but I really want to be an actor. And she said, well, if you want to be an actor, you finish your bricklaying apprenticeship, you'll always have a trade behind you, and you'll always be able to earn a living. So I then went off to Webber Douglas Academy. I was lucky enough to get into Webber Douglas Academy in London. And I came out and my first two jobs were as a builder. So it obviously was good training, either way.
You did Randall and Hopcroke deceased as well, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Randall and Hopcroke deceased, that was great. I had a fun there with Vic and Bob. That was good. Yeah.
So here we are on the Isle of Wight in May.
Yeah. Yep.
And why are you here?
I am here. I did Les Miserables and Miss Saigon and Sunset Boulevard, and I did about 8 years in the West End, and I played Thénardier in Les Mis. And so musicals are a massive part of me, and singing is a huge, huge part of me. And I started to direct musicals for younger kids, as it were, or 15 to 30 year old, you know, adults. And this producer come writer came to see one of my shows. I put on Our House, the Madness musical.
Mm.
And this guy called Philip Lee Moore came to see Our House. And he sat there and he watched the show. And afterwards he came up to me and he said, you know, my name's Philip Lee Moore, and you know, very nice to meet you, Peter. I was a big fan of you and the Green Green Grass and other things you've done, and I came to see the show tonight. I'm actually writing a film. You know, it's one of my first films. I've written a thing called Malcolm and the Magpies, a beginning of a series. It's gone down very well, and now I've written this film. So I was okay, lovely. Well, you know, let me have a look at it. And at that time, it was because he wanted me to be in it. So I said, okay, well, let me have a look at the script. So he sent me over the synopsis, and I rang Phil and I said, Phil, there's not a part in it for me, but I want you to be in it, Pete. I really want you to be in it. Would you, you know, can I write a part? And I said, well, if you write a part for me, you'll ruin your film, because it's an absolutely special piece of work. It's about Alzheimer's and lots of other things. It's just an amazing piece of film. And he said, okay, I don't suppose you would direct it for me. And I said, I would love to direct it for you. So obviously he'd seen, he had a look at some of the other things that I'd directed, et cetera, and you know, the process became that. And then he said, we'll be filming the trailer in the Isle of Wight, and possibly the whole feature. I'd never been to the Isle of Wight, John. I'm sorry to admit it, but I've never been to the Isle of Wight. What a wonderful place. And we keep saying, it's actually massive. We always keep making the joke, it's actually very big. Wherever we drive, we think, well, everybody says it's a small island, it's not.
Well, it's 23 by 15, really. 23 across from 15.
Is that what it
down,
is?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah, yeah. So it's not that small, you know. Everybody says a small island, it's not really. But it is, I mean, it's absolutely lovely over here. And so we decided to film over here. It's a project called This Is Me, about a gentleman called Tim, so hence the This Is Me.
Yeah.
And he is, for all intents and purposes, a cross-dresser, and he has a mother who has Alzheimer's stroke dementia, and it's about his struggle with it, not only himself, but about the struggle of looking after his mother, who actually has not brought him up very nicely. So he has this sort of juxtaposition where he loves his mother, but then actually doesn't really like her very much. And she is looked after by a carer in a certain situation, a guy called Pansy, would you believe? And because his name's Pete, but he dresses as a woman, and he is gay, and he is, that everybody calls him Pansy Pete, and he's a happy-go-lucky man, very loving, and he looks after Myrtle. And hence, in the end, Tim and Pansy fall in love, and Myrtle, we find there's a big twist to the story which I won't ruin at this moment, but it's a superb piece of writing by a new writer, you know.
And Melvin Hayes is involved somewhere, isn't he?
He is. What a lovely man Melvin is.
Yes.
I've been filming with Melvin for 3 days, and he's a stalwart. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he said to me today that I couldn't have had a better compliment. He said, it's lovely to be directed by an actor. And I was bowled over by that. He's a lovely man.
So you filmed a bit in Ryde, haven't you, today?
We have, yeah. Yeah, very sunny in Ryde today. And very noisy and lots of traffic. It was very busy there today. We filmed at the in the shop there. We filmed at the church there, you know, that's just been sold, actually, very recently. We spoke to the new owner because we wanted to film in the gardens there. And we got some lovely shots there, so we filmed there, yeah.
So this is like a long trailer, a five-minute trailer.
It is, yeah. Yeah,
What's the purpose of that other than to sell the movie? Do you want to get some funds up together?
We do, yeah. We want. So it's not only to get people interested in the movie. We're looking for someone who, or some people who are very interested in this media, in film, and are also interested in the message we're trying to give about Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's and dementia is very, very dominant at the moment in the press.
I was going to say, because, as we speak, Barbara Windsor.
That's right, very sad news. I work with Babs as well in EastEnders, and she's a lovely lady. You know, she's just... So it's very much in the press at the moment. There's some great work being done by the Alzheimer's Society and dementia campaigns and things, but it's still not there. People are unaware. They just think people get old. It's not that. It's not that. Yeah, and it needs to be told, really.
We ought to say it's quite noisy at Rookley Country, but going on. Your crew and cameraman are celebrating finishing.
Yeah, it's been a long 3 days. Two hours sleep last night.
Yes, and you're off at 5 o'clock in the morning.
We are up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get the happy ferry, yep.
So is there a title, a working title, are you going to call it?
The title is This Is Me for the film. Yeah,
right.
This Is Me. But we're on Facebook, so if anybody would like to follow our Facebook page, it is titled This Is Me, and they can find us on Facebook. And anybody that's interested in investing in any way, shape or form into the film. There was a lovely lad that I had today that I was able to get into the trailer. His father gave a donation towards the filming of the trailer. And I taught him, found him a part and trained him to do part of the filming. And he is a 14-year-old lad from Portsmouth. And he was over the moon. So anybody else that wants that type of opportunity to be in the film and would like to invest to become an executive producer, etc., etc., please contact us.
You've had a really amazing career because we talked about your TV and you've mentioned your musicals.
Yeah,
So you've done an awful lot, Peter, in your career, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I've been a bit busy. I do like to be busy. I don't know whether I'm good or not, but I do try to keep myself busy. And I'm very lucky. I've been very lucky in this business, and you know, and I'm very grateful for what I have. I'm very grateful for the people that give me the opportunity to do the things I need to do.
Peter, thanks for your time.
Thank you, John.
I know you want a bit of a break because you've been working solidly for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So I wish you lots of luck with getting the funding, and hopefully you'll come back to the Isle of Wight to make the movie.
We are definitely coming back to the Isle of Wight to make the movie. In fact, I know he wouldn't mind me saying this, Phil is contemplating actually setting it in the Isle of Wight. He would love to set it in the Isle of Wight because it's actually set in Brighton. However, it's quite a hard-hitting movie. It's quite gritty, and we'd want to know whether the Isle of Wight wants it. So
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, but I've been told as we've been filming, you know, we'd like to see this sort of thing going on here. So you know, you never know, and it will be Phil's decision. But I know that he's sort of egging towards the fact that we might set it in the Isle of Wight. So
this is a big year for the Isle of Wight for Gay Pride, obviously, because they're coming.
Yeah.
So
I
think they're fairly very broad-minded over here to some extent.
Oh yeah. I mean, we've had people walking up and down in skirts and high heels very late at night and being beaten up in alleys and things like that. And everybody's been coming out going, oh, I just thought there was some trouble. No, it's okay, lovely, yeah, please get on, enjoy yourself. You know, we were in alleyways at 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, and you know.
Thought you were loitering.
Yeah, Pansy being beaten up, and this lady came running out and she said, oh, it's very funny though. Her husband came out after her. She was the first one out. Yeah, it was the wrong way round as far as I was concerned. It was great.
Really nice to meet you. And
lovely to meet
I
you
promised
too,
John Challis today I'd pass on his best regards to you.
Oh, please pass mine
from
back
him and
to
his
him.
Wife. And
I will give him and Carol a ring over the next week or so. It's funny, isn't it? You're with somebody every day of the week and things just happen, don't they? And you just forget to phone and you never speak to them. So please say hello to him for me as well.
Lots of luck, Peter. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannah-Mead. That's right.
Keep looking on the Isle of Wight Radio website, the John Hannah website, and YouTube for more John Hannah Meets new interviews. Bye-bye for now. Isle of Wight Radio.